Blog Talk Radio.
Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which will be given up for you.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is Dr. Gregory Thompson, an expert on many of the Eucharistic miracles proving the real presence of Jesus in the consecrated host. Tonight, Dr. Thompson will lead an in-depth examination of one of these Eucharistic miracles. Here now is Dr. Thompson.
Well, good evening around the world tonight. God bless you, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to bring you, like we normally have been able and blessed to do, another Eucharistic miracle and some other information from saints, quotes from saints and other things that are affecting our culture and our children, our grandchildren. And so we have a lot to talk about tonight. And so we're not going to stay too long on introductions, except to say thank you to Donald for keeping us up and running there, brother. God bless you. Thank you for that, Donald.
And thank you, Greg. Looking forward to tonight. We got Kathy from the great state of Missouri, Bourbon, Missouri. How you doing, Kathy?
Hi, Donald. Hi, Greg. I'm doing good.
Great. Kathy, God bless you. Good to hear you.
And we got Joseph from Colorado Rocky Mountain High. How you doing there, Joseph?
Hi there, everybody. How you doing, Greg?
Joseph, you being a warrior that you have for so many years has been one of the reasons that we got some good news on the east of the Sacred Heart last Friday.
Yes.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen. That was a really
good
start. Still a lot of work to do, but still a great start.
Oh, well, yeah, it's made my job a hell of a lot harder because this state has a governor that signed abortion into law, you know, before this happened. So people are coming here from every other state.
Well, wow. It's not a tourism for him this time. And then also, Doc, God bless you. I understand you may have some
Doc
information also.
Kathy. Yes.
Yeah.
He's got a copy. And then Kathy, I sent it to Kathy as well.
Okay.
Yeah. Hello, everybody. Hey, Joseph. Hey, Dr. Thompson. How's everybody doing?
Good evening, and God bless you. And all of us hopefully are doing very well tonight. And as we get started, I'll do an opening for the people and then talk about some saints that have given quotes on the Eucharist. And then if we'll follow that by Kathy, if she'll do the Eucharistic miracle. And then, Doc, if you'll add into when we start after the Eucharistic miracle, once that gets finalized, we will go into the what we call the destruction of the human person, you know, and how that's affecting so many people that hopefully believe in the Eucharist, but there's Satan is really attacking hard on that. And so we'll discuss some of those things, because we're living during our lifetime, during our watch, we're seeing so many things of distraction happening to our children and grandchildren. But we got the King of Kings on our side, and if we continue to teach them and put them in the path of eternity, the good Lord being always faithful, he loves us, he loves the children more than we do, and he will be our guide, and the merciful love that we all need to make it into eternity. So anyway, tonight, as usual, we have another Eucharistic miracle, but I want to bring some quotes from saints ahead of that, and then Kathy will have you start the Eucharistic miracle. You know, how we can ever feel like we, you know, in serving the good Lord and his mother, how we ever feel like we're even humble enough to be able to be used. But we have to thank God every day that he will use us if we first glorify him, honor his mother, and defend the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. And I know I have some warriors around me that do that and try to do that on a daily basis, you know, which all of us, Satan has targets on your back. I know you're not aware of that. But as we look through the eyes of those who first had seen a Eucharistic miracle and were asked to verify what was happening, how again we do feel adequate. No offense or malice intended, only love, bearing witness to the truth as our Lord Jesus Christ did. May each of us be convicted by the Holy Spirit, as Satan will do all he can to distract you and trap you. You will look at tonight into the eyes of evil coming from Satan into the lives of our loved ones. And we must be aware, because this is no game, and you could put yourself and your loved ones at risk for eternity. You will first hopefully share with us those you put into your path to allow the others to see what you were gifted to see in the Eucharistic miracle that we share tonight. And then step up and share what is also needed for those to awake as Satan tries to sift you and take you away from the King of Kings. Lord, help us as we go forward tonight. The first quote is from St. Ignatius of Antioch, and you know him well. So I think that's was that in the first, second century in Donald?
Yes,
St. Ignatius.
110. Roger.
And he was, talk about some of his close confidants that people can connect to as we mentioned this.
But St. Ignatius, he was a disciple of St. John the Apostle. So he's really a bridge from the apostolic age onto the successors of the apostles. And so he was with St. Polycarp of Smyrna. And so St. Ignatius of Antioch is a very important figure of the church fathers.
Amen to that. His quote tonight is, as he says, they abstain from the Eucharist and from prayer because they confess not the Eucharist to be the flesh of our Savior, Jesus Christ, which suffered for our sins and which the Father of his goodness raised up again. Ignatius of Antioch, and that was 110 A.D. Just a little bit later, something from St. Justin Martyr, another quote, for not as common bread and common drink do we receive these, but in like manner as Jesus Christ our Savior, having been made flesh and blood for our salvation, so likewise have we been taught that the food which is blessed by the prayer of his word, and through which our blood and flesh may transmutation are nourished, is the flesh and blood of that Jesus who was made flesh. These are very important for us to follow what the early fathers and apostles and early fathers of the church, or what they knew to be a fact when the good Lord was here, and as he left and stayed behind to be with us till the end of time in our tabernacles all over the world. But again, even at that time, guys, we know we've had some tough times, but every time has had tough times, both secularly and the attacks on the Catholic Church. It's not something new, but it's during our time that we've got to be vigilant and active, not just sit back on our laurels, but go after things even in a stronger degree, like mentioned by our brother in Colorado. It's going to pick up. It's going to be picked up because Satan hates it that they could even stop the killing of even one baby. But again, St. Irenaeus, one of his sayings, about a century later, the bread over which thanks have been given is the body of their Lord, and the cup his blood. Again, they're speaking it like it is in the earliest times of the church. And St. Irenaeus again, against the heresies, he said, we acknowledge the blood, which is a part of the creation, as his own blood, from which he bedews our blood. And the bread, also part of creation, he affirmed to be his own body, from which he gives increase to our bodies. And sometime it might be a good idea just tell us individually what we felt the very first time that we were allowed to have our first communion and everything else that grew up past as a result of our growth and wisdom and knowledge, and maybe the eyes opening up to the reality of what the good Lord has given us as a special gift to each of you, knowing that you could be sitting at home relaxing and watching television, but you choose to take time to go to the battle, to be a part, to be shouting from the rooftops, to hopefully give things into the lives of others all around the world that can help them in their walk to eternity, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. So as we go forward, let's open up with a prayer, if we could, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we ask the Holy Spirit to be with us tonight, to ignite us in his love for our Lord, and glorify Jesus, Son of Mary, and defend us one more time in Apostolic Church. Give us all we need in spirit, mind, and body for each one of us to be warriors in every way, to bring lives and souls to the King of Kings. Through his mother being our greatest advocate and witness, bringing the others to her son, may we consecrate ourselves to Jesus through Our Lady, especially in the last few days we've experienced the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary that was given to us. Another thing that was given to us was the gift of Fatima, that her whole heart would be beside the heart of Jesus. And so may that be so for every breath we take all the way to our eternal reward in heaven. And young lady, Kathy, if you would you want to read the Eucharistic miracle tonight?
Yeah, I sure will. This particular Eucharistic miracle features a pastor, Father Antonio Rinaldi, whose deep faith in the Eucharist was responsible for saving the village of Canosio from the torrential floods of the Mara River with the blessing of the Blessed Sacrament. There were many conversions among those who witnessed the miracle, and to this day the townspeople of Canosio celebrate a feast during the octave of Corpus Christi to commemorate the miracle. Canosio is a small village in the region of Valmera in the Diocese of Saluzzo
In 1630, its townspeople had grown cold in their religious observance due to the spread of the Calvinistic heresy. A day after the Feast of Corpus Christi, the river at Mara flooded because of a torrential rainfall. The floodwaters were so violent and powerful that some massive stones were dislodged from the mountain and threatened to destroy the valley and the village itself. Father Antonio Rinaldi, the pastor of the town, assembled the townspeople with the ringing of the church bells and exhorted them to pray that the Lord would stop the flood. He vowed that if the village of Canosio were spared from the flood's destruction, the townspeople would celebrate in perpetuity in an annual feast of Corpus Christi. Father Rinaldi then placed the sacrament in the monstrance. He processed towards the raging flood with some of the faithful as they all recited the Miserere, Psalm 51. After he blessed the raging waters, the rain stopped at once, and the flood waters peaked and returned to their normal level. This incident revived the faith of the townspeople of Canosio, and to this day they observe the vow that was made.
Oh, God bless us. Any comments on that? And if anybody has their Bible handy, maybe someone could let's look at that psalm that they that was part
psalm
of what
51.
They did. Let's read that and see what it says.
Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you only have I sinned and done that which is evil in your sight, so that you art justified in your sentence and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you dearest truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me from hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Fill me with joy and gladness. Let the bones which you has broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me, a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and behold me with a willing spirit. Wow. I like
awesome.
That too.
Awesome. Awesome. Yes. Can I give everyone, if you have some, if everyone doesn't have, try to get a pencil or paper and write something down if you can. I think it'll give you great joy. Tell me when you're ready.
Okay.
I'm gonna give you a. I'm first gonna give you a website. It'll take about somewhere around 15 to 20 minutes of your time. There's actually 6 or 7 videos on it. They're about 3 minutes each, and it's. The name of the website is Adore Him Daily. AdoreHimDaily.tv/catalog CATALOG. Okay. Does anyone have a question on that? AdoreHimDaily.tv/catalog. This flows
like
right in with what we do. This flows right in with what we do with Deeper Truth anyway, and an awesome what you can do when that comes on is you can just push that arrow to the right of each one you to do, and go to the next one, okay? And there'll be about 6 or 7 of them in a row. I mean, be nice if you can do them all in one setting, but if you can have to do it a couple of times, it's fine. But what I'd like us to do, and I'm just saying it's something that we can do as an action, is do, you know, if we can set up and just talk together about this real quickly, set up a time that we can do an hour of moderation. And if you can, take a look at that Adore Him Daily .tv .catalog or slash catalog, because it's one of the beautiful, and I know Don knows this gentleman. He's very gifted in what he's able to put together. I believe it will bless you and bless those you love so much. And how many of us in here that are together, how many of you could do it like at 6 o'clock in the morning or 7 o'clock in the morning? Let's pick a time and let's do an hour of adoration for the good Lord, for all the loved ones and all of the ones that have been put into our path that are out there that quite haven't made a time for the King of Kings. And especially, Don, what's the this month and next month, what's happening with the Sacred Heart of Jesus?
The Sacred Heart is June, as well as the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the church honors. Now, in September, the Seven Sorrows of Mary, July,
Precious Blood. Yeah, stay just tight with this precious blood right now, if we can.
Yes, that's in July.
And all those things are so important. I want you to, as you think about it, come back and look at those different things that Donald's put out after you take advantage this day of this. I think it was going to give you new insights on what you can do for your family and your loved ones, not only in this Adore Him Daily, and the gift, you know, just even pray and ask the saint, well, he's not a saint yet, should be already, but what's his name?
Father Hardin?
Well, Father Hardin, but Bishop, the bishop that's come to Illinois
Sheen.
Now.
Bishop Sheen.
But yeah, Bishop Sheen. And just say a prayer. He did an hour a day. You know, we think that we're going to have to take one of our 168 hours and do an hour of adoration. He did an hour every day since he was made a priest all the way till he died, an hour every day. So just ask if we can start something and maybe have that hour this week. If you can't do it at 6, maybe 6 or 7 in the morning, and make that hour special for the good Lord and start to, and then either before or after that, watch that Adore Him Daily and see why you're going to want to make that even more for those you love. I mean, I know that's why you're here, for those you love. And see if that, and then email me back, because after that, you know, because Donald's did a lot of work on the precious blood of the good Lord, and I think you got at least nine different sections on that, don't you, Donald, at least?
Definitely.
On that.
Yeah,
so
nine.
Just initiate the first start of it tomorrow morning for 1 hour.
Yeah.
And then after that, just make it your own every day if possible. But let's do it as a team the first day if we can. And which is better, 6 or 7 in the morning?
Well, Greg, that's great. But I tell you what, if you could even go live, it's even better. If you could go to your parish church and do Eucharistic adoration there, that's most to us.
No, well, I'd probably do it live myself for sure, but yeah, if we can, let's just be together as part of his A team tomorrow, and see if we can do an hour of adoration, and for sure do that AdoreHimDaily.tv, and then follow that after later that day. Follow that up with those different spots that Donald has put together for the precious blood of Jesus. Just be a very, very good timing for all that. And anyway, and then get back with me your thoughts on what you just watched, okay? God bless you.
Sounds like
and,
a winner.
Thank you, Kathy. And any comments on the flood that was stopped?
What do you think of that
something.
There? Go for it.
Well, remember the last hurricane that was going to hit Judy and she had to evacuate? I don't remember when it was, but I remember she was preparing to leave, and it showed that hurricane was going to hit Beaumont, Texas, directly on. And I seen on the internet that her priest, one of the priests of her, one of the parishes there, took the monstrance and went to the beach there and prayed that it wouldn't be a direct hit. And it actually went and hit Charles Lake or something like that instead and missed Beaumont, Texas.
Oh, wow.
When did that happen?
Yeah, that's...
This was a couple of years ago. And I told her, I said,
was...
that was supposed to...
Well, I know Donald
had
a barrage starting in Louisiana and Texas both. You know, Donald, where he didn't really have a home away from home for a little while.
Oh, gosh. I was chased by two hurricanes, Katrina and Rita. Now, that's pretty wild, you know, when you get chased by two of them, you know.
For sure, for sure. Well, guys, if there's no more on that, because it's always beautiful when the good Lord makes things happen like that, and we know for sure once your eyes are open, you start seeing the miraculous things that happen. Kathy just mentioned that was able to visually see that. As many people just take it as a normal course of a normal day without seeing the hand of God in things. But he's always, always, there's no accidents when these things happen. But we
I
are.
Remember,
you have
am I? Yeah.
Go ahead. I was just saying. I remember when what Kathy was talking about. I remember when Judy and you know, we were worried about her, so we tried to check in and see how she's doing and everything. And we were all concerned about because of that the threat of that hurricane. And when it was all said and done, they didn't even have to leave. They were fine. That was good. I remember that there, Kathy. All right, Doc, what do you think about all this?
I got a question. There was a helicopter coming over, and your mic was broken. You were discussing this Eucharistic adoration. What I caught was you want us to go to do Eucharistic adoration like at 6 a.m. The closest church around here that has adoration is over an hour away, and I don't think they do it at 6 a.m.
Well, let's put it this way. Let's do it this way. What's your closest church, guys? What's your closest one?
The closest one for me is, like I said, an hour away.
Well, I'm you're saying for adoration with the monstrance, right?
Yeah.
What's your closest church with a tabernacle?
Oh, that would be downtown Clarksville, probably about 15 minutes. But they're not open at 6 a.m.
Oh, the church isn't even open?
No.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah,
well,
I would love to do it, but to be perfectly honest, there's no place around me to do it. And that's sad. That's really sad.
It is. What time does your church actually open there?
Well, to tell you the truth, I don't know. I don't go to the church here in Clarksville. I go to I drive an hour away in Kentucky to go to the Latin Mass, so I really don't know what the hours in Clarksville are. I couldn't tell you.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
I typically don't go to Novus Ordo Masses anymore. I know they have confession there on Saturday, and I'm actually going to go down there and try and do some talks there for the Convention of States thing. But other than that, they did have a Latin Mass, and then COVID came, and the priest got transferred, and they never reopened it. We're hoping that they will. It'll definitely save me a lot of gas money.
Well, if you've got anything within 15, 20 minutes, guys, and you have a, if you have a church that's actually open, even if it's not, the monstrance is not exposed, just go in and sit in front of the tabernacle for an hour with us as close as you can. And if not, maybe do the Rosary and Divine Mercy with us in the morning, praying for that. And we could do that all together, if nothing else.
Amen to that. I also, go ahead.
No. Go ahead.
Well, I have the, do you want me to do the reading, Destruction of the Human Person? I have the reading from last week. I don't know. I didn't get a new printout. I haven't been in front of the computer all week, actually.
Okay. Do you have the article, Destruction of the Human Person?
Yes. I didn't know if that was a continuing article.
That's what we'll start tonight and continue. Because we are, as we openly support the Lord and try to do things for him and for others as a result, we also need to be aware of what Satan is doing and be aware that we're all going to die and that to do all we can while we are alive. So go ahead and start reading that, Doc.
Okay. Real quick, though, before I do, speaking of that, Ecclesiastes 15:18, before man is life and death, good and evil, that which he shall choose shall be given him. Goes right in your last statement. We all going to die. Think about it. Anyway, in Destruction of the Human Person, an understanding of Christianity, a human person is an individual rational being with a body and an immortal soul immediately created by God. Every human being is therefore an individual because it has its own distinctive existence. Every human person is sacred twice over because it comes from God and is destined to possess him in the beatific vision. Every human person is first of all endowed with an intellect to know God or to know how the Creator is to be served here on earth and gifted with the free will to obey him now and in time in order to share in his infinite happiness in a heavenly eternity. As we have seen, communism strips human beings of their liberty, which is the foundation of their lives as a rational being. Communism robs a human person of all his dignities and consequently removes all the moral restraints that control the eruptions of the fallen human nature. In communism, there is no recognition of any right of the individual in his relationship with others. There is no natural light possessed by the human person. The only right that communism recognizes are those of the cogwheel of the communist state. Communism claims absolute equality of all human beings, including the authority of parents. What we commonly call authority and subordinates, communism claims are derived from the community as its first and only source. Not surprisingly, all material goods and all means of production belong to no individual, but only to the collective power of the communism society. It therefore follows logic that all forms of private property must be eradicated. Why? Because private property has been the source of and foundation of all economic enslavement. Most people would not associate communism with a culture of death, which I find hard to believe, which has become so prevalent in our modern world. Actually, there's more than an association. I do not hesitate to say that communism is the single principal agent behind the global murder of the innocent children that has now become legalized in most once civilized nations in the 20th century. I remember a conversation I recently had with Dr. Bernard Nathanson, I'm saying it wrong, I'm sure, author of the Aborting America and the confession of the abortionist, who admitted to personally aborting thousands of unborn children in our conversation. The doctor told me that during the 70 years of communist control of Russia, the average was over 16 million legalized abortions every year. 16 million! Once you deny that the human person is a child with divine rights to be born alive, it is only logical to legalize the murder of the unborn children. The connection between mass culture of death in our day and communism is so close that most people do not even realize that there is a cause and effect relationship between the two. Although I was born in the United States, my family roots are in Slavic culture. So many of my blood relatives have been victims of Marxist communism that I can say with complete certainty there is no way under God that we can stop the world massacre of the innocent children unless we cope with the errors of Marxism, which have so deeply penetrated our beloved United States.
Woo! It could have been written yesterday, couldn't it?
Huh?
That could have been written yesterday. I mean, Father had a very strong gift in being able to see all these things.
The thing that gets me is that people would not associate communism with the culture of death. Every communist takeover that has ever happened throughout history, the first thing they did was paint the streets red with blood. They murdered any opposition they had. All the scholars, all the thinkers, all the people that could mount any kind of resistance were summarily mass murdered and being put in big holes. So I just don't see how that could actually, how anybody could not associate communism with death. I mean, it just doesn't work for me. Anyway.
We'll back into this a little bit later, guys. Something to be praying about, to recognize one of the things that hurts the good Lord the greatest is when we give up our purity. And the Catholic Church had a great influence on that cause within our church in the last 75 years. And we'll get into the actual why it happened, money, sex, and power, only to be aware and to pray for those that are not only inside but outside the church that are at risk for eternity. Because the reality is that the majority of people, like Christ said, will choose perdition in the wide way to perdition will be to hell. And so because we love others, we have to be aware. We have to speak the truth as Jesus did. And sometimes it's always not always the most pleasant thing as they crucified our Lord and cut the head off of John the Baptist and many others for standing up for the truth. But Donald, you want to, or Kathy, you want to take off there by way of exception?
I want to find where I'm at here.
It's right.
Okay,
right,
where are we at?
It's right next to divorce and destruction of the family, that picture.
Okay, right
yeah,
below that. By the way of exception, by the way of exception, I wish to quote at length from the Manifesto of the Communist Party. Specifically, I will read to you what this manifesto says about the family. It begins with the imperative abolition of the family. The passage is a bit long, but worth listening to because it helps to explain not only what has happened in professedly communist countries, but what is going on in nations like our own. Abolition of the family. Even the most radical flare-up at this infamous proposal of the communists. On what foundation is the present family? The bourgeois family based on capital, on private gain? In its completely developed form, this family exists only among the bourgeois. Bourgeoisie.
I think it's French for bourgeoisie. 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 Yeah.
Okay. But this state of things finds its complement in the practical absence of the family among the proletarians and in public prostitution. The bourgeois family will vanish as a matter of course when its complement vanishes, and both will vanish with the vanishing of capital. Do you charge us with wanting to stop the exploitation of children by their parents? To this crime we plead guilty, but you will say, we destroy the most hallowed of relations when we replace home education by social, and your education is not that also social and determined by the social conditions under which you educate, by the intervention of society, direct or indirect, by means of schools, etc.? The communists have not invented the intervention of society in education. They do but seek to alter the character of that intervention and to rescue education from the influence of the ruling class. The bourgeois claptrap about the family and education, about the hallowed correlation of parent and child, becomes all the more disgusting, the more, by the action of modern industry, all family ties among the proletarians are torn asunder, and their children transformed into simple articles of commerce and instruments of labor. But you communists would introduce community of women, screams the whole bourgeois in chorus. The bourgeois sees in his wife a mere instrument of production. He hears that the instruments of production are to be exploited in common and naturally can come to no other conclusion than that the lot of being common to all will likewise fall to the women. He has not even a suspicion that the real point aimed at is to do away with the status of women as mere instruments of production. For the rest, nothing is more ridiculous than the virtuous indignation of our bourgeois at the community of women which, they pretend, is to be openly and officially established by the communists. The communists have no need to introduce community of women. It has existed almost from time immemorial. Our bourgeois, not content with having the wives and daughters of their proletarians at their disposal, not to speak of common prostitutes, take the greatest pleasure in seducing each other's wives. Bourgeois marriage is in reality a system of wives in common, and thus, at the most, what the communists might possibly be reproached with is that they desire to introduce, in substitution for a hypocritically concealed and openly legalized community of women. For the rest, it is self-evident that the abolition of the present present system of production must bring with it the abolition of the community of women springing from that system, i.e. the prostitution, both public and private. I could go on for pages quoting from the Communist Manifesto to prove that the destruction of the family belongs to the essence of Marxist communism. What is not so evident is the success which this philosophy has had in countries like our own. The communists claim that capitalism enslaves women by imprisoning them in the walls of a home has succeeded phenomenally in liberating women from enslavement by men. Most of the laboring force in our country is women. Most of the political power exercised in state is the power of women, who have been delivered from the shackles of capitalism. Over the years, I have followed the feminist movement from its beginnings. Every single premise of radical feminism is borrowed, often verbatim, from the writings of Marx, Engels, and Lenin. You want me to continue?
Yeah, go ahead.
Destruction of civilized society. One of the mysterious contributions of communism has been to teach us how indispensable is religion for the welfare. In fact, for the survival of civilized society, some years ago, the official journal of the Soviet Academy of Pedagogical Science published a government directive, Atheistic Education in the School. Shortly after its publication, I had the privilege of editing this directive for American readers. It is a goldmine of information on how to separate God from human society. It is also a revelation of how widely so many modern educators have trained millions of young people in the art of destroying everything but the name of civilized society. Once again, I will take the liberty of quoting several passages from Atheistic Education in the School. My hope is to show how effectively communism destroys human society, whose foundation is faith in the living God. The opening paragraph is self-revealing. Quote, the Soviet school, as an instrument for the communist education of the rising generation, can, as a matter of principle, take up no other attitude towards religion than one of irreconcilable opposition. For communist education has at its philosophical basis Marxism, and Marxism is irreconcilably hostile to religion. Marxism is materialism, says V.I. Lenin. As such, it is as relentlessly hostile to religion as the materialism of the encyclopedists of the 18th century or the materialism of Feuerbach. It is possible on these premises to still have civilized society? Absolutely not. We must accept the existence of an almighty creator who governs the human race by his laws of morality. Otherwise, we have what may still be called a society, but is really a jungle of so-called rational animals. Another quotation, religion, Marx says, is nourished not on heaven but on earth, and with the annihilation of that perverted reality, of which capitalism is the theory, religion will perish of its own accord. Implied in this statement is the idea that religion always implies faith in a personal God. But our modern English dictionaries do not hesitate to define religion as a personal set or institutionalized system of attitudes, beliefs, and practices. So successful has communism been in shaping the modern mind that the very word religion has become synonymous with any system of thought, no matter how godless its philosophy may be. I would hesitate giving the following set of contrasts between science and religion, except for their impact on our own society. Science arose out of man's need to struggle with nature. Religion arose out of a feeling of weakness and fear in face of nature. Science gets to know the objective facts of the real world and thus makes possible for man the efficacious transformation of that world. Religion, on the contrary, inculcating blind faith in non-existent supernatural forces on which the whole universe and mankind are supposed to depend, deters from getting to know the universe and makes man the slave of external forces. Science sets out from the proposition that there is nothing in the universe except matter in its motion,
that the universe is one and material. Religion, on the contrary, sets out from the position that alongside the material world, there is also the non-material, spiritual, and supernatural world, which is prior to and determines the material world. Science starts out with the proposition that matter is eternal, cannot be either created nor destroyed. Religion, on the contrary, starts out with the proposition that matter was created at some time by supernatural forces, God, and that it may at any moment be destroyed by them. Science sets out from the proposition that everything in the universe is changing, this change being an objective property of the very nature of the changing things and phenomena. Religion, on the contrary, sets out from the proposition that everything in the world is of itself qualitatively changeless, and that qualitative changes can take place only at the will of supernatural forces. Science starts out with the proposition that everything in the universe is objectively connected, conditioned by conformity to law, and therefore rejects the possibility of miracles. Religion, on the contrary, always begins with the acknowledgement of miracles. Science appeals to reason and works by means of demonstration, and especially by means of verification of scientific knowledge and practice. Religion, on the contrary, addresses itself only to blind faith and is hostile to reason and demonstration, all the more if it is of a practical character. In the light of this contrast between science and religion, it is nothing less than a divine intervention that Russian political communism died in 1993. The communism as organized Marxism has not only not died, it is alive in many countries. Communist China is only a tragic example. Our own beloved country has been deeply penetrated by Marxian ideology. That is why I would like to conclude this conference by paraphrasing what Pope Pius XI told us in his classic encyclical on atheistic communism. He was speaking to professed Christians. Specifically, he was addressing those of our children who are more or less tainted with the communist plague. We earnestly exhort them to hear the voice of their loving Father. We pray the Lord to enlighten them that they may abandon the slippery path which will precipitate one and all to ruin and catastrophe. We pray that they may recognize that Jesus Christ our Lord is their only Savior, for there is no other name in heaven given to man whereby we must be saved.
Wow. That shows so much depth and weight for every one of us and every one of our families. If we go over that a dozen times, even to make it a part of our thoughts, to do all we can to turn back one of the lots of Satan, one of the ways where Satan has touched so many people. And one place I'm going to go ahead and hit on real quick, because I know a lot of people are going to have a lot of things to say, is when the Catholic Church, and still the Catholic Church has not accepted it in the catechism, but accepted it in reality back in the 50s and early 60s, we accepted the Land O'Lakes proposal, which allowed basically the biggest thing that it allowed. It worked right well with the communists because it brought in a philosophy into the churches that really almost said that they were, they were really smarter than the ones that put the deposit of faith together, and that they could be their own arbiters of what faith should be, et cetera, instead of God being that way. And as a result, and when that was embraced because of the lust for money in a lot of our Catholic universities, with the Rockefeller group willing to give it out if they would embrace contraception. Well, just know that as long as we embrace contraception and turn away from purity from our good Lord, when we turn away from that virtue of purity, and everyone embraces it in every way possible, you can see how devastating it's been to our country and society. There will always, as long as that exists, they will never stop abortion. we've taken a good step and only a step, because there's still going to be many, many millions of children worldwide, and we're going to be asked to help sponsor that with tax money to continue murdering the babies. It's nice to hear that we overturned something, but as long as man has accepted that, hey, even the church accepts it, you know, in its own way, that we're all contraception's not bad, you know, but it opened up a door for Satan. He loves it that we can rationalize anything that would make us men, women, and its, or whatever we want to call ourselves. It's just destroyed many individuals, many families, and many churches, you know, when they said it's okay. You know, we've turned our backs on that through many of our Catholic universities. One of the reasons why we can't trust many of our Catholic universities to teach our children the right way to go in their faith to eternity. It's just not a reality in today's climate. So with that, take off on that if you want to, and
you know, you mentioned contraception. People think if you give contraception, abortion will go down. Well, it's the opposite, because contraception doesn't always work. And especially if you're getting it from Planned Parenthood, where they give out low-end, flawed contraception, so they do come back for an abortion because there's no money in contraception. So it's all an evil game that they're playing. And people think, you know, you have contraception, and Planned Parenthood tells them to do whatever the heck they want. Have sex with whoever you want, every kind of partner you can think of, you know, male, female, whatever, and you'll be fine. Well, but if you do get pregnant, well, just come back and see us, and we'll help you. You know, the whole thing is a vicious game, and with everything, I mean, the whole, you know, family is under attack in every way, shape, or form. You know, same thing. I mean, you know, transgender and homosexual marriage. The kids aren't being born. Of course they're not, you know, but they're saying men could have babies now because of transgender, you know. That's going to be a good thing, you know. I mean, the whole thing is under attack. You know, people aren't getting married. People, you know, even if it's not a gay thing, people just don't want to get married. You know, I hear that all the time. And, you know, they're not respecting the church. There's so much lies out there. You certainly can't trust any of the universities, you know. And I mean, I know very wealthy people who are like, yeah, my kids aren't going to college, you know. I'm not saying I wouldn't know where to send them, you know. And you can't blame them. And the same thing with regular school, you know. You know, people that want to send their kids to school, you got to teach them yourselves, because you can't trust anybody else. You know, we're under attack completely, and people need to wake up to that very ugly truth.
Go ahead there.
Go ahead.
Well, the destruction of the family, Kathy, when you were reading that, the first thing that jumped in my head was the feminist movement removed the father from the home.
Yep.
Now we've got three generations or four generations of males out there that don't know what it means to be a man. And that's where you're getting all this transgender and all this other garbage, because men have been told since they were little kids, because they were raised by their mother, not to speak up, not to say anything. You see it bad, you see something bad, just let it go. No, men speak up. We raise hell, and we stop evil when we see it. Real men do. So Yeah, this Communist Manifesto, yeah, it's definitely in the U.S. Hell, the Democrat Party is prime example of it.
Well, to add to that, Doc, you can look at Facebook or any social media in response to Roe versus Wade and see that everything I read in that manifesto is right here, right now, because it's disgusting. It's materialistic. It's there's no connect between mother and child. There is just a complete disconnect. I'm just shocked. I'm shocked that people, they don't love God, know God. They don't care about God. They care about things. And they don't have any, they don't care about family or connections. And family, as a cell is to a body, the family is to society. And the family falls apart, society dies. It's completely uncivilized.
That's the plan all along.
And, you know, real men protect their families from real threats, not these social justice warrior men you see on the Facebook that are, you know, portraying like they're standing up because, you know, so-and-so needs to paint their tenant's house or something like that. It's ridiculous. It's pathetic. And so real men stand for real protection of their families. It's hard to explain, but I can't say it without giving examples, and that would give it away who it is.
I understand.
Father, we've lost, who was the provider and protector of the Holy Family? The terror
Joseph.
Of demons. And he was the, there's a prayer that says, help us, O Joseph, in earthly strife to lead the pure and holy life. There's something that the leader, a protector of the family, is to lead them in the purity of what God asked for us. And
he has a special given authority. He has an authority handed down by God the Father. As a father, he has that authority that no one else has. And when a woman tries to take that, it's disorder.
Yes. And it's something that, as we're trying to perfect that to how it was wanted, sometimes people do a little bit wrong in how they go forward. But if they work together on that and try to do it God's way, he will give them, and he's promised this, he's promised them a peace and joy that's beyond human understanding. Yet we think we can be happier just by our own personal wants. It goes past even needs. It just goes to our personal wants and into a not a true love. We know it becomes a lustful way against purity, and as a result, when the father is not a part of making that happen, and part of being, if necessary, someone that can give up from himself, that can give up any lust at a moment in time, that the good Lord will bless what he can do. He will bless it. And we can talk, but it's most of our society, even young people. I just talked to two more last night at a St. Louis at a big dinner, and I just walking around, I asked a couple of young people, and they were brother and sisters who they were, and they looked like they were both early in Mizzou. They were new students in Mizzou, not probably more than a junior, but they already are not going to church. I just trying to talk to them, find out who they were, because it's a Catholic event, and but how much that has happened, and I have to believe that a lot of it has happened definitely because of Satan and the society, but it sure is a lot more pleasing as an individual that is seeking for themselves to have a lust that is fulfilled. You know, that's reality in our culture today. And as a result, what's going to happen that puts you to work more out in Colorado? You know, you're going to see more people coming up because, you know, they want to, if the wife or girlfriend will give in to them and they get pregnant, well, we always have a backup system, and it won't cause us to have anything that causes us any pains, you know, having children, having to pay for children and stuff, because they don't have the love that could address having a child to begin with, you know.
Yeah. But, Well, having the sign on my walker, you know, trust God, end abortion. Now, of course, trust God in general. Well, and people look at that and get mad at me. And when I bring it up, when someone is in distress or in need, I'm like, you know, you have to trust God. Well, you know, of course, people believe the biggest lie that there is, that there is no God and that there's no Satan, you know. And why should you add God to this equation? You know, because we're supposed to add God to every equation, no matter what. And people don't do that. They don't glorify God. They don't thank God. You know, they beg for His mercy and help when they're desperate, but they don't seek Him in every aspect of their lives. You know, finding the evenly yoked spouse. And that's a real problem. Some friends of mine got married, friends' kids got married, and they were just talking so bad about them. And, you know, they wouldn't go to the kids', you know, wedding because they weren't doing the right thing. And I joked about it. I said, well, at least they're evenly yoked. You know, neither one of them believe in God. They don't want to go to church anymore. They don't want to listen to their parents. And I said, well, you know, at least they're evenly yoked in that way, as bad as it is. But, people just don't want to put God in their lives, and how I get yelled at, you know, for having God on that sign. And, you know, when I had that standard sign, stop abortion now, for those first few years, and then when I made this sign myself, and people are like, oh, well, you know, that's a lot better sign. Things will be calmer for you. No, I get cursed now because people want to blame God and hate God for everything. You know, they blame God for all their problems when it's the opposite, you know, that it's them and that it's Satan. And it's sad that people are turning away, and that, you know, the whole everything boils down to that, and people just don't want to get that.
No, that's true. That's true. Well, Donald, I don't know how much longer we're going to go because we're already over time. But it's been a healthy discussion and probably needs to be addressed even more and sent on. But I hope everyone wrote down the Adore Him Daily. And at least if we can't do it today, tomorrow, maybe all of us could say the Hail Mary and Divine Mercy. And if we can, any of you can stand and sit before the, I know that I've got a little bit easy on me and that I'm 5 minutes from church. I can go before the Blessed Sacrament. But as much as possible that we start everything we can do, and maybe just start some type of something that happens as a result of it coming together right now and coming together tomorrow, and how it grows into something as we go forward. Just make an effort if you can to listen to them and go to them daily, because they're awesome stories.
I go to Adoration tomorrow from 4 to 6, and then I leave and go directly to Planned Murderhood and get in there by 7. And I do that Tuesday and Wednesday, my busiest days out at Planned Murderhood, because I need it. and people don't get it, you know. You know, people are like, well, you know, why do you go to Adoration? And I see you in there a lot. And people just don't think, you know. And it's sad that the churches don't speak up about that enough, you know, that Adoration is a thing, and more churches need to have it, and find a church that does have it, if your church doesn't have it, because it's great to spend the hour with your God. It's just an awesome thing, and it benefits your life so greatly.
Yes, if you can.
And why you don't, or why you do it, you should ask them why they don't.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Todd, watch that I gave you, that gift I gave you guys, and give me some insights from you and your hearts as we go forward with that. And if we can, because there's so much, like I say, we can, such a short period of time, let's end it with a beautiful prayer, if you would, Kathy.
Nomine Patri Filii Spiritui Sancti. Amen. Pater Noster, qui est in cæli, sanctificetur nomen tuum, adveniat regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua, sicut in cælo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie, et dimitte nobis debite nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris. And in nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos de malo. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tu mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesu. Ave Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Gloria Patri, Filio, Spiritui Sancto, sicut in erat, et in principio, et nunc, et in per in saecula, saeculorum. Amen. Nomine Patri, Filii, Spiritui Sancti. Amen.
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 Amen and amen. God bless you. And I truly know some of you were very quiet tonight when I mentioned that. I'm serious. If you would watch that, I want you to watch a couple. I think you'll watch all of them. It'll take less than 25 minutes to do it all. But I would like some insight back from you, you know, because I think this is something that we can share with a ton of people in wherever they are on their walk with that, but it can help a lot of people that are not there yet. I think it can help them get there. And I'd like your insights on that, your reflections. Just get back with me, you know, just email me and get back with me if you would. And how many of you have, you're sitting there with your hand up right now, right or left, it's okay. Say, I'd like to try to listen to that tomorrow and get back with you, Greg. Okay. You don't have to visualize about me, but I'll take that as a yes. God love you. And love you all. God bless you. And see you next week. And Don, I wanted to give you a thank you again also, not only for making this possible. And Donald, I want you to also look at what I gave everybody tonight and get back with me on that. And I think you'd be able to add that to what you have put together on the precious blood, because I think both of them should be looked at and responded to and shared for sure, especially as we are getting a more and more rotten culture, and a lot of it is because people don't have a faith in God, and especially don't have a faith in the real presence of God. But we can do all we can in our own walk right now, tomorrow, in the morning. We can start saying, I'm going to be a reason more people listen or want this or make it a part of their life to have adoration. Because next year,
I will find opportunity. Now, tomorrow morning, I've got to be at the hospital because they're going to be testing me for cancer. So I'll be gainfully employed. Mm-hmm. But I will be, this will be good. And adorehimdaily.tv catalog. So
/ catalog. Yeah.
The
please. Just say this might help Gregory. Okay, that's something you could help me grow in my faith. Say this might help Gregory, so I'm going to listen to these and then I'm going to call Greg or email him. Okay, and I'll send you all a hug.
Yes. All right.
And a prayer. All right. Love and prayers to each of you, and talk to you soon, guys. God bless you.
Thanks
for God bless.
Be back next week, same bed time, same bed station. Good
night, everything except the next week.
I hope everything goes well at the hospital, Don.
Thanks. I'll keep everybody informed.
All right.
Good night. And
right.
I know everybody is. I think everybody's on the right track here. And thank you, Kathy, and thank you, Doc, for your reading tonight and your participation as well. And to everybody, Joseph, what a warrior. And you too, Greg. God bless you, and we'll catch you all next time. Good night, everybody.
Truth is a fine line. Deeper truth is an even finer line. When we decided to call ourselves Deeper Truth, we knew the obligations that name would put upon us. We wanted our readers and listeners to be always confident. Whenever you tuned into a program with a Deeper Truth logo, that is exactly what you got. Deeper Truth. From Journey with Mary with John Carpenter on Sundays to the Eucharistic Miracles, with Dr. Gregory Thompson on Mondays, you learned you were never alone, that heaven is only a prayer away. It is a sacred obligation week after week to bring you not just the truth, but the deeper truth. And that is why
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Johnny Cash came out with I Walk the Line in 1956, and I was born in 1956. So thanks to my mother, and thanks to our Holy Catholic Church, I've been walking his line ever since. So good night, everybody, and see you next time. God bless.